Welcome everybody to the July 18th, 2016 meeting of your Ferndale City Council. Let's rise for the salute of our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. We will have the roll call by our city council.
Councilmember Czar. Here. Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
And Councilmember Watson has requested an absence, excused absence. Who would make the motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to excuse Councilmember Watson. Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. We will now go on to the public comment part of our city council meeting. This is an opportunity for the public to talk about anything that's on their mind. Up to 3 minutes, and introduce yourself and where you're from. Who would be first today? Mr. Robinson.
So unusual. This is such a different thing. I am, as usual, Papa John, and I do, as usual, live at 6072 Malloy Avenue, Malloy Adult Family Home. And that is with you, not with an O. I have a task to tell Kathy about this wisdom I'm sharing with. The first part is I'm going to do one health comment, a Keith Olson comment, and a apartment dweller comment. And the first comment is for your health. If you eat an apple a day for 80 years, you won't die young. I'll repeat that for you health nuts. If you eat an apple a day for 80 years, you won't die young. And you also help our apple industry. And Keith, this, I thought you would really like this one. If you stand up, you'll be seen. If you speak up, you'll be heard. If you sit down, you'll be appreciated. You're welcome. And now the apartment dweller. The only, only people that get to hear both sides of an argument are the neighbors. Now, that's the frivolity and the fatuousness part of it. Now I'm going to do a serious thing now. Most of you know that I was in law enforcement for 7 years. And doing a little, I was a patrol officer to start with, but I wound up being accepted as an associate member of International Associations of Chiefs of Police because I was chief of security at my undergraduate institution, later went on to become a special officer when I was in seminary, arrest powers which were localized. And the point of that is that all of us should be beyond shocked and beyond angered when we see anybody murdered. But when you murder a police officer, you're murdering those that are here to protect all of us. And so that damages very, very seriously those officers who have any connection with those at all. Can you imagine then when you're out in a patrol car, because I've been there, where you stop somebody in the middle of the night and you don't know what they have in their hand. You don't know what is under the seat or in the glove compartment. You don't know. You just don't know. You can't assume that everybody has a gun. On the other hand, if you don't, it could cost your life. So it's one of those kind of things. Obviously, the thin blue line seems to be getting thinner and thinner as we go. And so, but I want to suggest something. That the bottom line here, and this is almost sarcastic, but I have to say it. Those in France, that tragedy there, I wonder if there were those who once abandoned the vehicle that caused it, that murderous action. It's kind of ludicrous. The problem is very simple. It's a three-letter word that a lot of us like to pretend isn't a part of life, but it's called sin. Evil. Hatred and evil and murder are all connected. And so may I suggest that if the one thing we need to do is I welcome you to talk to the man I talk, that I call Father, to try to solve this problem as we all grieve together for that flag being lowered again for how many weeks in a row now. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Are there others that would like to address council this evening? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment. And Council, you've had the consent agenda in your packet. What is your pleasure?
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nay, say nay. That's passed and it has been adopted. We now have a presentation from Puget Sound Energy from Once again, Pinky Vargas, who's with Puget Energy and also a Bellingham City Council member. We're glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity. Good evening, Mayor, Council, and staff. I'm here to, I'll catch up with the technology's catching up with me, I think. So I'm here to let you know about a partnership that we're doing here with the City of Ferndale for your residents. And it's a home energy assessment door-to-door. Go ahead. Do you have a clicker?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you a no. Yeah. So, what we're doing is starting tomorrow, Tuesday to Friday, from 2 to 6 p.m., we're going to be going door-to-door, and we're talking to the single-family residences. PSC crew will be walking door-to-door. They're going to be talking about our home energy assessment program. But just so you know, no one will be entering your homes at this time. They do a pre-booked appointment, so it's not a surprise. And we are encouraging people just to sign up for the home energy assessment, which is free, and they will receive a follow-up scheduled time. So what does our home print include? The main thing that gets people's interest is 20 free LEDs, so we replace those. And we also have water aerators for your showers and for your sinks, and information on all our rebates and energy efficiency measures that they can do. They actually give a little follow-up report after they've had an energy assessment. So, again, it's a free program. It's a great way for us to engage face-to-face with our customers and help them find ways to save more energy efficiency. This is what our crews will look like. They have bright orange shirts, so you'll see them with their badges. And just so you are aware, we have contacted the Ferndale Police Department. They are aware we're going to be walking in the neighborhoods and where we're going, so we did get their permission. And we do this home energy assessment door-to-door program in 10 different cities in our service territory. So right now, this is where we've been before, where we're going to go the rest of the year. But this is something that we are doing throughout our service territory. So in the mail, most of your residents, we mailed 1,956 postcards that came out last week. Most people would have got them in the mail. Some of you may have already received them to let them know that we are coming door to door. And this is what the postcard would have looked like. This is the front, and go ahead, Riley, that's the back. And next. And then here are the neighborhoods that we're going to go to. So we're actually going to knock on 747 doors. We have taken the list. I actually reconned this myself. So I drove around all of Ferndale looking for the right homes, and then we use our GIS information to kind of make sure that this is single family, it takes out multifamily, etc. You can go to the next one. So those are the three areas that we're going to be knocking on in regards to our door-to-door. So those are the neighborhoods that fit the criteria, that have older homes, or maybe higher electricity bills, and where we think that there's actually opportunity for energy efficiency savings. Go ahead, Riley. So that's it. Just wanted to let you know that thank you very much for allowing us to partner with you and for being able to serve your residents. If anybody has any questions or concerns, I'm going to be in your neighborhood. Yes, sir.
The you said you're not going into homes, so what are you just handing people the light bulbs and the shower stuff and they have to do it themselves?
So good clarification question. So what we're doing is in the door-to-door, we're just asking people to sign up for the home energy assessment, and then they follow up and they make a scheduled appointment so that they know that person who is coming to the door, it's a more convenient time for people because often you're catching them off guard when you're knocking door to door. So if they're not home, we do leave a door knocker on the, or sorry, a door hanger on their door handle. We don't leave anything on the doorsteps or anything like that. So just information, if they're not at home, that they can contact us and set up a free home energy assessment. So it's for a scheduled appointment for us to come to their home later and then do a little energy assessment, change the light bulbs, the shower, and the faucet aerators.
Okay, great. So like the elderly won't have to have somebody install it.
No, okay, we will take care of that. Yeah, and we have a contract team that actually delivers the home print door-to-door for us. They're called 3Degrees, but they are all PSC badged and ID'd, and and again, wearing PSC shirts. So it will look the same to the customers.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Councilman Birch.
How old is that new home have to be?
So generally we say something a little older than 1992. So it doesn't mean that there isn't potential for homes with that, because a lot of people, especially LEDs, is a great way to change out things. But usually we're looking at homes of around 1992 or older.
Any more questions? City Council. I think I was wondering, you said something that caught my attention. Are you able to identify older neighborhoods just by above average power use back in the headquarters there?
The actual housing usage was identified by me driving around your
neighborhoods.
But we can sometimes identify an area if they all, maybe there is a chunk that might be all have higher than average electric bills. So we can't confirm that, but it often leads us to believe that their fuel source, their heating, is done by electricity. So generally, if a whole neighborhood has an area that has higher than a normal electricity bills, that means they're electrically heated. So there might not be any gas service in that territory. So, but there's no way we have to confirm that unless the customer confirms it.
Come see us again sometime. Thank you.
We will. We'll come back and tell you how many doors we knocked on and how much energy we saved.
Very, very good.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Next up, capital projects update, and our project manager, Katie Ratter, is here. Welcome.
Good evening, Council. Oh, the power went out. My name is Katie. I'm the capital project manager, and I've got a couple of things to talk about. First of all is Washington Street. And last time we talked was a month ago, and I said everything was going great. 2 days later, I kind of shouldn't have said that, because then things don't go great, so I kind of shot myself in the foot there.
Here we go.
Riley's going to show a photo, basically. Contractor was working on removing asphalt and concrete, if you remember, and then they started to work on utility installation, and the first spot that we started excavation on was at the corner of Golden Eagle Drive and Washington Street, and ran into this whole mess of utilities, which we have a photo of.
Which we're working on.
We'll show
you.
Anyway, very small area, huge number of utilities, so we actually found a live sewer line that we weren't aware, neither was our maintenance department, were aware that was there. Basically, pretty much kind of stopped work on what we were working on, forced a redesign of the sewer utility. This project didn't have sewer improvements planned as part of the initial design. And basically, we worked on a sewer design where we installed a new sewer on Washington between Vista Drive and Golden Eagle. So,
I'm very sorry.
That's all right.
It is.
See, I can't talk about stuff, then it doesn't happen. We have a photo, I swear.
Pass the laptop around.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to pass the laptop around. That might be the shortest point.
Anyway, the additional cost for the sewer is right around $45,000. We also, once we got going on construction, we realized that there were quite a few pedestrians that are coming and going from that general closed roadway location. There's a lot of apartment buildings, and so we added a couple of flaggers, so that will cost us a little bit more money than what we had expected. So basically, we've gotten everything worked out. The new sewer lines installed to be able to address the sewer utilities, get that new utility under the street, and we're back on track. Water should start to be installed next week, and that includes some pretty extensive work in the intersection, basically in the location of that photo there. Should take about 2 weeks. Paul Curcio is a great contractor to work with. They anticipate throwing some additional personnel at this project because we are about 2 weeks behind at this point to try to get us caught up. So we're very positive that we'll be able to keep things on track. I don't know if anybody has any questions about that. Central City Water, the mainline crew, knock on wood, has been doing very well installing pipe. They've been making about 300 to 350 feet of pipe installation a day, which is pretty good in a very tight confines. If you've ever been down Hilltop Road, you know that the road's about this wide, so it's kind of a small area to get a lot of equipment and people in. When the contractor first approached the project, they were going to basically start on one street at a time, get all the work done, move on to the next street. They've sort of changed that approach where they're installing the main line water, installing services, and then going on to the next street, knowing that they want to be able to then come back with smaller crews, basically button things up, and then come back with smaller crews in order to tie the individual houses in at the end. So basically what they are up to now is Hilltop, the water main is in. They've got most of the paving done today. They've got about 200 feet left of mainline trench to pave. That'll happen tomorrow. They may actually start tearing up the asphalt on Crestline, the trench line, later in the day tomorrow as well. So once that's done, then they'll move on to Fieldview Drive and then Heather. We've also posted some updates. Riley's helped out with doing notification to try to keep people informed of what's going on. So we sent out an email list. We sent out an email, and then we've done some Facebook and website updates.
Questions from council?
No? Okay. Our sanitary sewer pump station 2 and 3 project, remember that project was awarded just recently to InterWest Construction. We got our signed contract back today, and so we will be having a pre-construction meeting later this week that's scheduled for Wednesday, and so we'll probably wait to give you an update. Not much is happening right now other than paperwork the next meeting, the next update. Anybody has any questions about that? No? Right, other than that, we did get a telephone call from the city's PSE representative. If you remember, the Transportation Improvement Board is funding a complete streetlight switch out from the mercury vapor high sodium to LED lights. And so they're gearing up for that. They'll swap out our fixtures about 100 at a time. They're gonna do the city in phases, and they assured me that they would let me know so we could provide updates to folks where that's gonna be and when. The city has about 1,400 fixtures to swap out, and they anticipate that that'll take a couple of months to get them done. Other than that, we've just got some projects under design. That includes Portal Way, 3rd Avenue, the roundabout project at Main and LeBounty, and then Thornton Road. So anybody has any questions?
Any questions from City Council? Ms. Radner. Look like. Councilman Goodrich.
I don't know if it's you or Kevin, but any update on the engineering for the bathrooms at Starport?
Yeah, I've had discussion with the engineer on getting started on that. They're getting a scope and a budget for it, and I'll bring it back to let you know an update in the future. But
thank you, Mr. Wentz. Very good. Moving on, council. Last week, as you know, we had a vote to reconsider our comp plan, the land use part of the comprehensive plan, and we'll do that tonight. Mr. Burnett, you have the council.
Thanks. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, council. So as the mayor said, what you are considering tonight is a reconsideration of your vote last month, which the original amendment to the plan was failed. What the proposal was to alter the comprehensive plan land use designation for approximately 0.7 acres to the west of Lago Lane from medium-density residential to high-density residential. Your vote tonight would be to make that change or not make that change. If you do vote, if four of you vote in favor of making the change, then on your next council meeting, we will have an open record public hearing to consider the rezone of the property, and at that time we would bring forward the final version of the draft development agreement that we've included here. The reason why we would delay it is because if this measure fails tonight, there's no reason to bring it back next month. A public hearing is required next month. Recognizing that there is a little bit of a gap in between, if you do vote in favor of the change tonight, it would not go into effect until August the 8th, which would be the same date that a rezone would go into effect. So in other words, on August 1st, if for some reason something went sideways, you are not left with a land use change without a corresponding zoning change. So it is not a public hearing tonight, though we have informed the adjacent neighbor who spoke earlier at your public hearing.
Council, what is your pleasure this evening? Councilmember Goodrich.
Again, I'll state that my wife is a client of the proponent in this issue. I personally have not had any direct contact with him, and I feel that I can easily vote without any conflict or any regards to this.
Well said. Councilman Birch.
I will abstain from voting.
Okay. Councilmember Goodrich, please.
Then I'll go ahead and make a motion to go ahead with the comprehensive plan update, I guess that's what it is, as presented here. I'm making sure I'm on the right page here. Agenda Bill 16-07-007.
I'll second. It's been moved by Councilmember Goodrich and seconded by Councilmember Hansen to adopt the change in the land use for the comp plan. Is there discussion or question? Sounds like you're ready for the question. That appearing so. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. And the mass was at 6-0 or 5-0?
5-0.
Did you? Oh, you voted. Thank you very much. That's where I was kind of counting. 5-0, and the motion has passed, and the comprehensive plan has been modified as voted tonight. So we'll come back a couple weeks for the next item, okay?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Thank you very much. Going on to item F, claims are usually put under consent, but I think these were pulled by Councilmember Olson, I think.
Correct.
Please, go ahead.
I really can't even begin to answer half of what I brought up at the committee meeting because I don't have the MasterCard bills in front of me that I was told I would get. I understand why they're not there. I probably would have done the same thing if I was in his shoes, but I can't even bring up any discussion on the MasterCard. So I'll bring it to the Star Park construction. And my understanding was that the food was donated, but it turns out it was only partially donated. And by my calculations, it's about $5,500, close, $54, of food for a weekend that none of us up here approve. Well, unless we do it after the fact. It's already been spent. Employee reimbursements, do we know what that was, Greg?
unless
acting treasurer.
That's right. Unless you know which particular.
I'm just looking at the Excel sheet.
Oh, okay. I don't have that. I have the actual sheet from the.
Yeah, there's nothing really there.
I believe that was the drills that you already had to put on his personal card.
Okay.
Yeah, that was. We needed drills. And
cordless drills.
Cordless drills to get the volume of drilling.
Oh, so we had to buy equipment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that went back into the shop.
Exactly.
Yep.
And Second Avenue Sports, what one was that?
Volunteer T-shirts.
$1,000 for that.
That was both the captain T-shirts and the volunteer T-shirts. Yes, and all of these are claimable on the grant.
So we will have... But I thought we were short in the Star Park, and we were having to give Star Park, authorize Star Park money.
Yes, it's my understanding the T-shirts are an allowable claim for the grant, so that would be under the grant expenditures. The meals are not allowable grant expenditure, so that would come out of the city funds that were donated, that were directed to the project.
And on that, as we were going through, you know, roughly half of them were donated, a third of the meals, I should say, a third or so were a reduced cost, and so we made sure that whenever we had that reduced cost that we had other funds come in to make up for it. So an example of that would be COPAC paid $1,000 for I forget which meal it was that came out to approximately $2,000. So we got another donation or group of donations for that, so it would cover it so that the city ends up even on the meals overall.
So what you're trying to tell me is there was no taxpayer money for all these things that I'm complaining about.
Correct for the meal. I believe so. Correct for the
that's
meals.
That's all I was, yeah. There's the meals and the T-shirts. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah, those are covered. There are possibly, we're still figuring out as far as expenses, some expenses that the city had already identified as helping to pay for Star Park, but things like the meals and the T-shirts are absolutely donated, so there's no taxpayer money for those.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Great. Since this goes back to the previous council, I did a little research on the finances, and the city gave or budgeted $70,000 to Star Park last year out of REIT 1 or REIT 2?
REIT 2.
Never expecting to get it back. We thought that was our investment to get Star Park. But after donations and everything said and done, I think we're at about a $20,000 cost to the city, not $70,000. So I want to give great credit to staff who busted their butts, calling people, asking people, getting in front of this thing, and raising about $100,000.
Over $100,000 now.
Plus food and tools and things like that. So this really has been a terrific deal for the city.
And we're still accepting donations, he says to the Wiles crowd. So if you want to cut a check to Star Park, we will take your money.
So,
it's worth a shot.
Council, we're looking for a motion to adopt the claims.
I'll move that we adopt the claims as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the claims. Claims agenda there. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed nay.
Nay.
It has passed 5-1, and the claims have been covered. Moving on to Sister City Hospitality, we have some guests, but I will start the ball rolling by sharing a little history here. We had a Sister City relationship since 1991, which has lasted 7 mayors and 13 different councils over those years. And we will be hosting 12 individuals who will come out not on city expense, but I assume their expense or perhaps the sister city's expense in October. And we have citizens of Ferndale that have generously offered to put them up in their homes at their own expense. We are, as a city, though, expected some to handle some appropriate and essential hospitality that I think are a rather minor cost to the city. We checked with our treasurer, and he says we do have the funds to do this. And we have Marla Merrill here to share with us an estimate of some of the expenses that will come to the city as a result of this hospitality. Scoop of Visitors is going to visit Ferndale, our city. They'll visit the downtown core, and I suspect we'll go into some of our businesses and perhaps shop and spend some money here. I suspect they will visit Pioneer Park and see the cabins. I doubt if they have a set of cabins like this in their home country, and I think that would be quite a treat for them. I think they're also planning to visit Lummi Nation and see the cultural heritage that is out there, but also I think the economic engine and success that's going on with our friends to the south. I think a lot of neat things are happening with this visit, especially so at a time when people tend to be uncomfortable with people who are different, from different countries, different races, and I think this is especially a good time for the city of Ferndale to kind of do their part to reach out and build some bridges. We've been doing this for 25 years. We inherited this. We didn't create this. It's something that's been established 25 years ago. It's been maintained in different ways over the years. It's something that's been given to us. If we wish to reevaluate it next year, I think that's fine. But this is our 25th anniversary relationship with Menominee Wilson, and I think that we could and should make it a good one. So I'm encouraging council to adopt the resolution as presented in the packet today. And with that, I'd like to invite Marla Merrill, who's done quite a bit to make this thing happen. Could you come up, and you have a guest with you too? And then we'll receive questions from council.
Good evening, Mayor Mutchler, city council members, and city staff. You've heard my feelings before at the Finances Committee. I made them very clear to you. At that Finances Committee meeting, there were several suggestions made. One of them was that the Ferndale School District should partner with the city of Ferndale to financially support hosting our Japanese guests. Based on past history, the Ferndale School District has repeatedly told people that there are no funds available to support funding such as what is being requested by a city council member. The second issue that was raised is that it was suggested that the Ferndale Arts Commission use LTAC money to financially support hosting the Japanese guests. I think that there may be some funds available to supplement what we're requesting from the city. I think it would be a very nominal amount. I also think it would be very inequitable for the Ferndale Arts Commission to be requested to fully bear the financial responsibility of hosting what is truly a sister city relationship. I've already gone over with you the approximations of what we are tentatively working on as far as expenses, but this is what I have not said to you that I want to say tonight. In somber acknowledgement of the recent violence that has occurred within our nation and within our world, I ask the City Council make evident the desire to manifest peace between the peoples of Ferndale and Menominee Boso, Japan, by approving this nominal request of funds to honor and celebrate the silver anniversary celebration of our shared international sister city friendship. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from council? Councilmember Burke and Councilmember Goodrich?
Marla, before you leave the mic,
could you
run through that list one more time? Not everybody was at the Wednesday meeting.
Oh, okay. So I can give you an approximation of the events that we would like to host. Obviously, well, I don't know if everyone knows this, but the Japanese people are very generous in gifting, and that to be proper, there should be small gifts exchanged. We were thinking of perhaps greeting them with small boxes of chocolates from Chocolate Necessities. There would be expenses involved in decorating and providing refreshments for the citywide celebration that's scheduled for October 27th in Pioneer Pavilion. Entertainment will be provided. Fortunately, I have contacted most everyone who will be performing, and that's Bob Storms, Dixieland Jazz Band, Bertha Rita's Mexican Dancers, Frank Goes Behind, associated with the Nooksack and Lummi Nations, and all of those except for Louise Sager and the Sealy Club representative. I haven't been able to confirm that they'll do it for free, but I think that they will be willing to do these performances for free or for a gratuity. So it would be proper for us to provide some sort of gratuity. We are talking about, of course, taking them to a meal, and ideally someplace in Ferndale. we would like to take them to Lummi Island and show them the beauty of the San Juan Islands and the joy of riding our ferry, the Whatcom Chief. So those are just a few of the tentative expenses. When you start adding all of these up, it's surprising, a little bit shocking actually, how quickly the numbers do accumulate. But keep in mind, the resolution states that the expenditures will not exceed the requested funding, which I believe is stated as $2,225. Very nominal fee to honor our Japanese sister city.
I may need help with wording. I'm okay with spending that amount of money as long as it's not for a private function at somebody's home.
Okay.
That the public is not invited to.
Mm-hmm.
So
we can manage that if that's another request of the council.
I'll second that for you. For discussion.
For discussion? Okay.
You want to make a complete motion then? On the resolution then?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
That.
I thought that was it.
That the $2,250 is okay with me as long as there is no private function at anybody's home that the public is not included to be part of.
Would that possibly also mean if they were taking them out to a restaurant, then the public could come join in that restaurant?
I said private home.
That's the only exclusion that you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Councilmember Taylor.
Do we have any rules that apply towards, like, the way we can spend the money? To me, it seems like these are government money, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sister cities are a recognized governmental use of public funds. They're really, as long as it's not considered a gift of public funds, insofar as you receive something in return, the city receives or business, or there's some quid pro quo. But if it's just hosting expenses are allowed under sister cities. They're usually considered. A lot of times they talk about things that are nominal and intrinsic, insofar as it's not a $10,000 check, it is indeed a pen that says the city of Ferndale. That's the intrinsic nature of it.
So we don't cite that in our resolution, though.
Right. I think what we would probably do is include that list of anticipated expenditures in the resolution.
Any more questions?
I have. Councilmember Olson. Several things. I think what Councilmember Bursch is referring to is in your committee presentation, you specifically mentioned a soiree at the mayor's house. So I think that's where she's going with this. You didn't mention it this time. So I'm assuming that's still on the roster. You just overlooked it.
Correct.
Okay.
And that was not intentional.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I just wanted... So everybody knew what we were talking
yes,
about.
Yes.
My second thing is I'm not opposed to or afraid of racial diversity. I'm married to an Asian for 27 years. So for the comment that was made about that, this has nothing. This is not why I oppose it. So I do not think it's a proper use of funds. I think this has been scheduled for a long time. It should have been included in LTAC money. That could have been spent for this, since it is a tourist thing. It's an awful lot of money for the cherry blossom. I wasn't there, but I was told basically we had 20 people show up for that.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Incorrect?
There were hundreds there, sir.
There were hundreds.
Okay.
The pineapple drink was packed.
All right. Other than that, I'm opposed to spending on it, so I will be voting no.
Council. Any other questions? Councilmember Goodrich.
What dates are we talking about for this? This says October.
Yes, it's October. They will be arriving on the 26th. We will begin hosting them the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th.
Councilmember Burr.
When you applied for LTAC money last year, did you have all this in your head, or was it on paper yet?
No, there was nothing in LTAC that had anything to do with the Sister City Association. We were originally told around February of this year that there would maybe be 3 to 4 guests coming from our sister city. We only learned recently, maybe 2 weeks ago, that there would be 12 guests coming. So this is a bit of a surprise to us, but one that's exciting.
Actually, this is a question for Riley. Riley, would this actually be an appropriate use for LTAC money? I mean, we've been throwing around the idea that this should have been anticipated and included in the LTAC requests, but I'm not clear. I don't believe that this would actually be something that we could use LTAC money for.
So legally, could you spend LTAC money for? Technically, it's the operation of a tourism-related event or activity. In terms of choosing this particular expenditure, I would leave that to the wisdom of the LTAC committee.
Yeah, I just add on to that. It's that the use of LTAC money through the years has kind of ebbed and flowed based on how some cities have decided to use it for good or not for good. So the law has been amended along the way. Originally, the concept was it was for the promotion, the advertising of activities that would draw people into the city. Since then, it's been expanded to include the operation of a visitor's center and other things. But it's all under that umbrella of encouraging tourism, those that do not live here to visit. So in this situation, they're coming. So we're certainly not encouraging them to come. Would it encourage others? Perhaps.
So an argument could be made.
It's one of those, yeah.
Okay.
So he cleared that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're having a party at the pavilion, which draws in, besides the guests, tourists to come to it. It's open to anybody. So we're going to get a number of tourists at the pavilion during that afternoon.
I'd just like to comment on that yes, hopefully there will be tourists coming, but I once again will repeat that it's inequitable to give the Ferndale Arts Commission the sole responsibility of providing our LTAC funds for this citywide event. If the Ferndale Arts Commission is requested to provide funding, I think all LTAC recipients should also be requested to provide funding. I'm not saying that we don't have a couple of $100 that we would willingly donate. I just think it's inequitable to request the finances solely from the Arts Commission.
Actually, I would tend to agree. I mean, I think it was made clear at the committee meetings that there's no LTAC money.
Yes.
So if we were going to use LTAC money, we would have to either go to the Arts Commission or back to some of the others. I don't think we're really going to do that. The federal government spends $50 billion on diplomacy. We're looking at spending $2,250 on a little bit of diplomacy for our city. I think it's a drop in the bucket as far as the total amount of money that will be spent. I think that it's a very appropriate use of city money from an economic development standpoint, from a tourism standpoint, from a diplomacy standpoint. Because of that, I'll be voting for this.
Councilmember Olson.
I think we're getting sidetracked. I wasn't saying that you need to spend your money. I suggested that at a split at the committee meeting. However, we had a second round of LTAC in February?
Yes.
Okay. My point being is get in, submit applications for this stuff, and try and have things funded that way. Not that you have to go backwards. There was money come available in February, but I'm assuming you didn't apply for anything because, like you said, there was only 4, and now you're up to 12. So.
Correct. And as I recall the Finance Committee meeting, it was your suggestion that the financial responsibilities be shared by the city and the Ferndale School District.
That's correct.
And the Ferndale School District likely does not have funding to support this city cause. The idea that the money come from LTAC was suggested by Mr. Sweeney.
I'm letting it go, Riley.
Any other questions?
No.
Council? Comments? Councilmember Goodrich.
So this whole conversation about LTAC is a moot point?
Yes.
Because there is no money?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was hearing that right. So there's not nothing there. Okay.
So, Council, the motion on the table is to adopt the resolution to support city program anniversary this year, $2,250. No monies will be spent at a private home activity or event.
I think that is the motion as made. And there was a second by Councilmember Olson. Correct. Are you ready for the question? Council, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The motion has passed. 5-1 with Councilmember Olson voting nay. The resolution has been adopted. The Sister City program is being embraced for another year. And thank you, Marla, for coming tonight.
Thank you. And I need to retract apparently what I said. I thought it was Mr. Sweeney who said that. He's gone. No, it wasn't me. So
I know
it was somebody else. So I apologize for that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Look at that. We're at the end here. Did we make it to 7? We did make it before 7. There are no mayor reports other than to emphasize that we do have Old Settlers coming up in 2 weeks. This Saturday is the Tour de Waukam. You'll have bikers coming out all over the place in Waukam County, including through Ferndale. So be careful with your driving and grab your bike. There's a 25-mile run, a 50-mile run, and a 100-mile run. I know there are city employees and staff members doing that, so you might see them out there.
I'm trying to get some of those runners last on the motorhome.
They're quick. They are quick. They're motivated. Council reports. Council Member Birch.
In August, I will miss both council meetings on the 1st and the 15th. I'll be in Alabama for over a week and then Texas for over a week, so I'll be gone.
Thank you, Council Member Birch.
I would like it to be excused.
Councilmember Olson.
I just had a question. You mentioned the race, that last foot race one.
Ragnar.
Did they submit their plans for all their traffic things that they did to us?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. All right, because some of them seemed pretty willy-nilly, and I wasn't sure. All right, thanks.
Is that it for council report? Thank you very much. Staff reports, Community Development Director, Yorba Burnett.
Nope.
Public Works, Kevin Rapp. Our Chief of Police, Mr. Knapp. You're welcome. City Administrator Young.
Quickly, I wanted to update you, on our search for our next finance director. As much as I enjoy taking on the extra duties, we are moving forward. The prop and company that you've employed to do the search, the search closed last Sunday, and earlier last week I had a chance to talk with Bob Carton, who's the representative from prop and who's leading the search. And we received 13 applicants, which is right in line with what they've been seeing statewide. He and I kind of quickly went through his first impressions. These are just based on resumes and the responses to the written essay questions. And he's now going to be interviewing 10 of the 13 and then winnowing the list down. And he's probably going to be doing those interviews this week. So I assume next week or so he'll be sitting down with the mayor and myself and probably narrowing that list of 10 down to somewhere around 3 to 5, I would assume. And then we'll be inviting them in for interviews. A wide variety of applicants, both what you might consider the usual characters, people in the both governmental finance arena working for other governments, but also some folks in private industry. And, in fact, that's why we decided to kind of up the number to 10 to kind of cast the net. If you remember, our esteemed ex-finance director did not come with any governmental experience. He worked for Boeing and then worked for some private nonprofits. But a good cost accountant is a good cost accountant. And so governmental accounting is just unique. It's not different. It's just unique. So we're going to be looking at, a wide swath of experiences to try to find just the right fit for Ferndale. So it's kind of exciting. We're going in a good direction, and hopefully we'll bring a good batch of candidates and make the choice really hard.
And, Council, I've already received from you some comments about those two hires, thoughts and things that you're looking for. You can still do that, and there will be panels that will include council members as we interview these people. So your participation is important to the city. Communications officers, me, and our city clerk, Susan Duncan.
Okay.
And I think we're ready for a motion to adjourn. We've covered everybody. Mm-hmm. It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.